Well, shall we read, please, in Genesis chapter 39? Genesis chapter 39. Before we read, I want to express my gratitude for all the kindness that has been shown to me over these last days. I appreciate it very much. And I carry with me fond memories of my time here. Now, the passage I have here is a solemn passage, and I want us to read it carefully. And it links on with what we have heard. The Lord will give us help. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he had eaten. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master walketh not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and shewed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now we know the Lord will bless to us, we trust his word, another time. Now it has been in my heart for this day to speak upon some of the houses of Holy Scripture. And in the earlier meeting we spoke upon the house of God. And it is in my heart now for this part of the meeting to speak upon the house of Potiphar. And I read this and embark upon this passage. We trust with great care and we look to the Lord for his help. But it has encouraged me to read this chapter given what we have just heard. And the main thing I want us to lift from this chapter, we will see it as we go through, and perhaps it may be helpful to keep the chapter open upon your knee as we will refer back to it. I want us to see and learn great lessons in this chapter as to how we can deal with the matter of sin when confronted with it. Now I know, and you know as well, the very particular sin in this chapter. I want to leave that all to the one side. All the remarks I will make will be of a general nature. And this chapter is filled with lessons for us on how we should respond when we're confronted by sin. And we've already heard much that has been very, very helpful for us in that regard. Of course, there is a responsibility for us to confess sin and so on. But there is here in this chapter, we are armed with ways upon which we can deal with it. And a responsibility that rests upon us. And that we're not just going through life blindly and we somehow are victims and everything is done to us. That we have a responsibility when faced with sin. There's a way in which we must respond, and we learn it from this chapter. I hope we will see as we go through. Now, I have five little headings here again that I want to work our way through that I hope will form the basis of learning from this passage. Now, the first thing I want to see about Joseph in this chapter, I want us to see the attributes that characterized him. The attributes that characterized him. You see, in this chapter, verse 1 of the chapter, it reminds us and brings to us that Joseph is now in Egypt, a land that is hostile to the people of God. I'm going to keep this very general, for I want to apply it as I go through. I don't have time to go over it twice. So Joseph, a young man, is in an environment that is hostile to him and to all that he stands for. And he's found in this place, he's found here alone. All the people that he knows are all far, far away. And he is found in this hostile environment. And he is found in this house down in Egypt, just on his own. And yet, the great lesson, the first lesson I want us to learn, whenever this woman, the wife of Potiphar, speaks of him, verse number 14 here, she says, the Hebrew. And then she says again in verse number 17, the Hebrew servant. So even though this young man was found in this land that was hostile to him, even though he was far from any eye of anyone who knew him, here he was in this environment and he was living distinct from all those who were around him. He was living as a Hebrew. And this woman knew about this young man that here is someone who is different. For he's a Hebrew among us. And here we all are. I don't know. I know some who are here. Many of you I don't know. But when these days of conference are over and we resume our normal lives and you're found back at your workplace, you're found back on the street where you live, you're found in the university where you attend, or in the school that you go to, you remember that as a child of God, and I know you are, I know you are, I'm trying by the help of God to encourage you. But you, by the grace of God and by the help of God, you live in that place, wherever it is that God has placed you, the university campus, a hostile environment. There will be nothing there to help you as a Christian. Or at least the university I went to, there was nothing there to help Christians. And in that hostile environment, you try, with the Lord's help, as best you can to live for Him. And live distinctly. And live separately. But you say, there's no one there. There's no one there to watch me. You know, all the... As Joseph was in this house, he could have rationalized within his mind and said, there's no one now here will know. If I do this thing that this woman proposes, there will be no one who will see me. But we'll see in a moment, Joseph knew that God would see him. And as he lived, as he worked, this was his workplace. As he worked in this place, he worked and he lived just diligently before the eye of God. And he was distinct and separate. He was a Hebrew. And so may the Lord help us, each one of us, wherever it is we're found, to live for Him. Now, we need to be careful too. And I want to be sensible about the thing. And you always need to qualify. But don't go out of your way to be an oddity. I don't know if you know what that means here. That's the problem with the language difference. It's all English, but it's slightly different. If you know what I mean, don't go out of your way to be strange and peculiar. I know we're a peculiar people. But don't go out of your way to wind people up and to be awkward about things. But live carefully. And live before God. And live differently. Live as a Christian. And live not according to the morals of this world, but live according to the Word of God. And as God's eye is upon you, live differently and distinctly and morally and uprightly. And I'll tell you this, you'll stand out. And as God then gives you opportunity to speak to others about the gospel and bring their need before them and tell them of the Savior. And so we have in this chapter the attributes that characterized him. He was a Hebrew in the land of Egypt. Then the second thing I want to see is the advance that confronted him. Because there was something then arise, just out of the blue. And it's this advance that confronted him. And I want you to notice here, it might be helpful if you have your Bible, it came in three stages. And it's given to us here by this phrase, and it came to pass. And so in verse 7 it says here, and it came to pass that he said, lie with me. And then in verse 10, it's the second stage. And it says here, and it came to pass. It's the second thing. And that was day by day. And then the third is given for us in verse 11, and it came to pass. Now this is the advance that confronted him. And these three stages are identified for us in those three phrases, and it came to pass. And the first time you'll see, and again I want to widen this all out, but you'll see the first time it's just really a suggestion. She said to him. And then as time went on, then it became something that was repeated. That's verse 10. She spoke to him day by day. So first of all, it came out of the blue one day, not expecting it. There came to him this dreadful advance from this woman that he never wanted, that he never saw. And out of the blue it came. That's verse 7. Then verse 10 is something then that continued on every day, day by day, day in and day out. And then the third stage was she made a lunge for it. And with each stage it gets worse. And let me say this, that the sin that we have been hearing of and that has been so helpful to us, the sin that we are confronted with very often comes in those ways. There's sometimes there will be something that will arise that will come out of the blue, totally unexpected. We're not prepared for it. We're not ready for it. We never dreamt it would arise, but it just arises all of a sudden, and we need to be prepared to face it. We'll see now in a moment. Now this is all, I hope, preparing the ground for seeing how we deal with these things in just a moment or two. And so we face things that we never expect. Sinful things, I mean. And then the second thing, and they're only, sorry, the first one, they're maybe only suggested. Maybe not too strong. Then the second one are the things we have every day. You say, well, I can hardly think of any of these things that you're speaking about. This is all a big mystery. Well, let me say, if you have a mobile phone, and you'll think I'm desperate against mobile phones, I have one, and I look at it every day. I couldn't be without it. Like. But if you have a phone in your hand, you have a temptation to sin that's with you day by day. Now you do. And it's there all the time. And this woman, she spoke to him day by day, just a continual thing. That was always there. And he had to be prepared for it and guard against it. And we need to be the same. And so there are things that are there every day. And it's not only mobile phones. I'm not telling you to throw your mobile in the bin, by the way. All I'm saying is these are temptations we have and matters we must face and be prepared for. And then the third thing are the things that are perhaps more, just more confrontational, more easy to see, shall we say, as being sinful, when she made a lunge for him. And so we have these things as well, and you have her. I don't think you don't. We all face it, and we all face these things, and this passage will show us in just a moment how we can deal with them. It's the advance that confronted him. Verse 7, it was unexpected. This day that Joseph arose, he never ever expected that the occurrence would happen as happened in verse number 7. It was unexpected. It was unrelenting. Verse number 10, she spake to Joseph day by day. And every day, just continually in her ear. It was unrestrained. She said, lie with me. was unclean. You know, Joseph here in verse 9, Joseph called it what it was. He says it was a great wickedness. And it's sin. You know, that's one of the things that we need to be careful of. And I'll come to this maybe in a moment if we have time. One of the things we need to be careful of is taking the blunt edge off these things. I don't mean necessarily what's here in this chapter, but I mean in our own minds we can excuse things and we can explain things away and we can call it everything but sin. You know, Joseph here in this chapter, these two descriptors he has of it, he says to my master, to my earthly master, it's a great wickedness. But he says to my heavenly master, to my maker, it's sin. And he called it what it was. It was unclean. Now, that's the advance that confronted him. The third thing I want to mention is the answer that cleared him. Because he gave an answer. And this is how he responded to it. And these are the things now. This is coming, perhaps, I hope, I pray this will be helpful and that I'm not wasting our time here. But the answer that cleared him, you know, the first thing I want to notice about his answer was there was no delay in his answer. Joseph didn't say, well, now, I wasn't expecting this advance and this proposal, this proposition, this dreadful thing that you have mentioned, and give me a week to think about. No. He gave an answer right away. Notice the end of verse 7, when she said, lie with me. That's the very end of verse 7. Look how verse 8 commences. Says, but he refused. As soon as these words were out of her mouth, immediately he said no. He didn't let the thing fester. And there will be things that will arise in your experience, in your workplace, or at university. Things that others will suggest to you, and the best way of dealing with them is not to say, no, you're going to pray about it. Or it's not to say, I'll give it some thought for a few days. Very often, the best way to deal with these things is just to immediately, when you know it's sinful and it's wrong, is immediately to say no. But he refused. There was no delay. This is the answer that cleared him. The second thing about his answer was, not only was there no delay, but there was no doubt. You see, whenever Joseph had given his answer, she was left in no doubt as to where he stood on the matter. Those words. But he refused. And just in our language, he said no. There was no possible way for this woman to misunderstand what he was saying. He left absolutely no room for any doubt whatsoever. He refused, he said no. And then, not only did he say no, but he went on to explain why. It says here, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold my master, and so on. And he goes on to say and explain why. He said it was a great wickedness and it was sin. He not only knew it was wrong, but he knew why it was wrong. And he told this woman. And he left no room for doubt. Now the third thing about his answer was there was no deficiency. It was comprehensive. She gave him three words. He gave her two verses. The last word she uttered was me. Lie with me. This is all about me. That's what sin is about. Gratifying the flesh. It's about me. That's the last word she left ringing in his ear was me. The last word he left in her ear was God. Verse number 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He said to her, he said, you're living for yourself. And it's all about you and gratifying yourself and your flesh. He said, I'm living before the eye of God. And whenever he had finished with his answer, he had left her with God in her ear. You know, I judge that will help each one of us to remember that our lives are before the eye of God. And we are not our own. We are bought with a price. There was no deficiency in his answer. There was no, well, I have called here, I have to keep the D's up, you see. I've called it no dilution. You know, whenever he was giving his response to the wife of Potiphar, he didn't dilute in any way what this would mean. You see, you know, you can imagine how his mind could have worked. That here he is in Egypt. That what this woman was proposing was no uncommon thing in Egypt. This just marks the sort of place where I lived. It's not uncommon. It's all around us. And that's the sort of place I'm found in now. And here I am, far away from anyone who knows me. Sure, who will know? This woman is my master's wife. It's the boss's wife. And it's her proposition. It's not mine. And it's only a day and it's over. You see, he didn't dilute what it meant and what it was. And he uses the words here in verse number, if I can find it, verse number 9. He says there, how then can I do this great wickedness? You see, he knew that if he went ahead with this sin, he could have blamed his circumstances. In fact, Joseph here in Egypt had every right to be a better young man, sold by his brethren. And you know how the disappointments of life and disappointments of family, so many other things, and as he's found here working day by day and thinking upon the treachery of those that he loved, his soul could have become bitter and disenfranchised with the whole thing. And no, here he is. And he says, I know if this thing is done, that I will be the doer of it. The responsibility, I'll not be able to blame my family. How many times have you heard others being blamed for sin that really we are responsible for? It'll not be the responsibility of my family. It'll not be the responsibility of my nation. It'll not be the responsibility of this woman even. It will be my responsibility. If this happens, it will be something that I have done. I do. How then can I do? He says this will be something that I have done. He never diluted, didn't try and shift the blame onto others. And then the other thing about his answer was there was no distraction. You see, you know, you know that maybe some of your colleagues at work or those at university have asked you maybe to do something and you've said no. And then maybe they ask you again, you say no again. And then they ask you again, you say no. And on it goes. And there's just the tendency that as time goes on, you drop your guard. And you kind of, and then you begin to rationalize. You say, well, I've said no 6 times, and I don't really like to say no again. I'll go this time, and then that'll buy me a few other times when I not have to go. See, he never got distracted. He knew this was sinful. It was wrong. And he kept it the same answer. That's what we have here in verse number 10. That she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her. He never let the continual pressure that she put him under distract him from his answer. He kept resolute before the eye of God. And his answer was always no. There was no distraction. And then lastly, there was no debate. There's no discussion. He never entered into a debate with her. I want to summarize here just for a moment, and I'll not get too much longer. Because I want to put all that I've been saying here together and see really that there are five, I've written down in my Bible here, 5 steps to safety. And I hope this is a help to those who are younger. There are 5 steps to safety when we're confronted by sin. As I say, I'm not thinking just of this sin here in this chapter. Things that you know are wrong. Things you know before the Lord that you shouldn't do or you shouldn't get involved in. Things not of the degree of seriousness of this that we have. But all the same, they're wrong. You know they're wrong. And so there are 5 steps to safety. I'm going to mention them here. In verse number 9, he refused. That's the first thing. Say no. The second thing, verse number 10, it says here, he hearkened not. He didn't listen to her. She was at him every day, but he didn't listen. And it's not even so much that he didn't hear it, but that he didn't entertain it in his mind. He didn't mull it over. He didn't contemplate. He didn't think about it. So firstly, it says he refused. Secondly, he hearkened not. The third step to safety is given here in verse number 11. You might think this is a strange one. Verse number 11. It says there here that he went into the house to do his business. Now these are the steps to safety against sin. So he said no. He didn't listen to her. And the third thing, he kept himself busy. That's one of the greatest preservatives to sin that I know of. It's to be busy. You may think that's very, very strange. There's the old proverb, I believe is true, that the devil finds work for idle hands to do. And you know, one of the greatest preservatives that you can have as a young believer is just to be busy. And you know, all this lying about and time just evaporating into the air. Find things to do. Find spiritual exercises to be engaged in. Visit people. I tell you, you see these believers here, these older believers, some of you younger sisters and brethren, they'd be delighted and overjoyed if you knocked their door and visited them. They would be thrilled to spend time with you. I know I would if you came to our home. And I know they would too. But occupy yourself with the things of the assembly. Be at the meetings. Get involved in the meetings. Make yourself busy about the things of the assembly. A great preservative. I think a far greater preservative than we ever knew is just to be busy. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is given to us here. In verse 12, it says that he fled. He got away. He said no. He didn't listen to her. He kept himself busy. And then when the crunch came, it says that he fled. And he didn't just move from one side of the room to the other. Here's the fifth one coming now. He didn't just move a flea just out of her grasp and stand on the corner of the room and look at her. No, it says here he fled and got him out. There's the fifth. He says this sin is so dreadful. And he was conscious of his own human frame that he said, I must put as much distance between me and this sin and this woman as I can. And he fled and got him out. And there may be times when you'll need to do the same. And put as much distance. The sin is so grievous and so terrible and will lead to the utter shipwreck of your Christian experience, that you must get out and flee and put as much distance between you and the sin as possible. And so those five things, now maybe sometimes you'll need all five. Maybe sometimes you'll just need one of them. But those are the things that God has given to us. These are the bows in his armor by which we can face sin. Now listen, I again want to qualify. We need the Lord's help. There's none of us are able to stand on our own. And these things are given to us as lessons for us, because we must take responsibility. And we say no. And we don't listen. We don't entertain the thought of the sin in our mind and mull it over and contemplate it and wonder how it would work out. We don't listen to it. The third thing, we keep ourselves busy. The fourth, we flee. The fifth, we put as much distance between us and sin as we can. And so that's what Joseph did in this chapter. And that's the answer that Peter did. And then fourthly, I have five here. The other two are not so long. The fourth thing we have here is the accusation that challenged him. You see, even though he had no hand or part in this whole thing, the woman made an accusation that challenged him. And I want to come for our brother here. We want to hear. I want to come to the last thing and just wrap up my little comments. I want to think lastly of the approval that comforted him. Because that's very important in this chapter. The approval that comforted him. You say, well, this is all very well and good. Joseph, this young Hebrew man in this Egyptian home, he has evaded the clutches of this woman. And by the help of God and under the eye of God, he's got out. The sin has been avoided. But sure, what use is it for? At the end of the chapter, he's found now. He's not now working in the house of Potiphar. He's now lying in the prison. Would he not have been better? And he would have kept his place likely in that home if he just had acquiesced to the wishes of this woman. He would have avoided the prison. He may. But there was something more important to Joseph than all those things. If you have your Bible open, look at verse number 2. It says here, Genesis 39 and verse 2, that the Lord was with Joseph. the Lord was with him. And the second thing from that verse was, is that he was a prosperous man. And we read on down in these verses that the Lord made all that came into the hand of Joseph, the Lord prospered. And so much so that Potiphar couldn't understand this young man, that all that he seemed to touch seemed to go well. He had the Lord with him. And he prospered. Now you imagine what would happen. What would have happened if Joseph had gone along with this sin? You know, the thing that was precious to Joseph above all others were those two things. And we find them again. It's not by chance the Holy Spirit has given them to us again before the chapter ends. Verse number 23. The Lord was with him. The end of the verse. It says, the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know, in this whole chapter, this whole sorry episode in the life of Joseph that he never asked for, that he never wanted. He was a young man enjoying a sense of the Lord with him in his life, and the Lord working with him and through him. And now this thing comes, isn't it? Isn't it great to see that when this whole chapter has come and gone, that still Joseph, by the Lord's help, is still standing. And the Lord is still with him. And the Lord is still prospering all that is in his hand. May the Lord help us, each one. And I speak upon this passage with great fear and trepidation. And like the psalmist, and I know we all join together. We all join and we all say, preserve me, O God, for in thee do we put our trust. May the Lord help us, and may these simple lessons help us as we face sin, wherever it may be from, and wherever it may be from.